Radio, where gamers roll. www.d20radio.com.
City, you're listening to the Underground Radio, bringing you all the very best Pokemon news and views this side of Twist Mountain. I'm Ken.
And I'm Sam. For today's broadcast, we'll be updating you on the latest Pokemon news, featuring a couple of burning video game teams for Double Team, and spotlighting this podcaster's favorite Pokemon. So sit back, relax, and give your Radio Rotom what it wants. So, Kent.
What's up, Sam?
It's episode 90. We are turning the home stretch here into episode 100. And it's been a long time coming, this episode, but...
It's true. Very true.
We've just been getting all of our usual... life stuff that just happens to us out of the way, and now we're back into recording again, and I personally could not be happier with the subject that we're kicking it off with, because I have been waiting for a Dragonite Double Team for a very, very, very long time.
Probably for about the last 89 episodes, I would imagine.
Yes.
But yeah, no, it's great to be back and recording again. And yeah, we've definitely got a great topic to talk about today. So.
Oh yeah.
It's very exciting, and hopefully the listeners will get something relatively useful out of it as well.
For sure. So I suppose we'll kick it off with our traditional Pokemon chatter, finding out what we've been up to in the time that we've spent away from the air here. It's been...
There should be plenty to talk about.
Yes. And, you know, it's been a long time, not only since we've recorded, but since you've been on one of the episodes with us. And... I am very curious to know how you've been doing with Pokemon or with just stuff in general.
Yeah, so I actually can't remember if this had been talked about on one of the previous episodes, but because I feel like it came out like during the hiatus, but Pokemon Shuffle is a thing. And
yes.
I've actually been playing quite a bit of that. And I think I'm finally up to stage 150, which is the Mega Mewtwo Y.
Whoa.
So, yeah, it's pretty crazy. And the it's some pretty tough stages, but 'cause I was stuck on Mega Glalie, which was the last Mega. They kind of lump these stages together in, I guess you'd call them areas, different areas, and each area is capped off by a mega.
Sure.
So, Mega Glalie was the mega for the last area, and I was stuck on that stage for probably a good 3 or 4 weeks.
Wow.
It was insane. But I finally did manage to get past it, and, now I'm stuck on Mega Mewtwo instead.
Mega Mewtwo sounds ridiculous. Like, I remember Mewtwo in the... what was the one game for the Wii? Was it Pokemon Rumble that
Yeah, there was a Pokemon Rumble for the Wii.
Yes. Josh and Mitch and myself and one other person, I can't remember who it was at the time. We all fought Mewtwo on that one, and he stomped us. He stomped us so hard. And that was just a regular Mewtwo. Mega Mewtwo Y is just an intimidating thing. So.
Yeah, he's kind of a jerk in Pokemon Shuffle. So, yep. But yeah, so there's that. And then I actually have been working on creating a living Pokédex, having one of each individual species of Pokemon, so that whenever the next game comes out, whether it be Pokemon Z or Delta Emerald or Gen 7 or whatever, I can just take that out of the Pokemon bank, and then right off the bat, hey, I've got a full Pokédex. I've got access to the Oval Charm, the Shiny Charm, and I don't have to worry about going through and catching and breeding all of the old Pokemon anymore.
I would
So,
expect no less from you.
yeah. Well, I'm actually kind of just moderately ashamed that it's taken me this long to get to this point. But now that I've finally pulled the trigger, I've gotten all the breeding done. I'm in the process of going through and evolving them, and it's kind of weird because it's very disjointed as far as being split between Pokemon X and Pokemon Alpha Sapphire.
Sure.
So like, I'm focusing primarily on the Pokemon that I've got bred up in Pokemon X right now, but I can't honestly say that I'm done with the first generation of Pokemon yet, because there's a split there.
Oh,
You know, I
sure.
just kind of took whatever I had in Pokemon Alpha Sapphire and bred that up. So there's a good mixture of between all the different generations of Pokemon on the two games. So, but one of these days I'll get them all finally evolved, and I'll be able to say that I have a living Pokédex.
That's awesome.
So, and then coming up next week on Saturday, that's August 8th, we're going to be having a library event at the library here in Minot, and hopefully trying to get a little bit more word out to people about doing, the Pokemon League up here.
Very
So,
cool.
yeah, I'm really excited for it. I've got one PowerPoint already built for the TCG side of things, and then I'm going to be working on developing a PowerPoint or a video or something that I can, speak intelligently about the video game side as well.
All right.
So yeah, if there are any listeners in, the North Central North Dakota area that would like to show up for that, please feel encouraged, and hopefully we'll see you next Saturday at the library.
Very cool. I have been up to something relatively similar when it comes to library days. My job at the Fargo Library has offered me many opportunities to help advance Pokemon through the library system there, and starting sometime in October, and it would be later October, the library was interested in having me host another Pokemon event like I did the year before. This time, though, there had been some patrons who had expressed the regret that the one last time was for primarily a younger audience, and they wanted something that would be more for adults. So it's sounding like it's going to be two separate events, one for the younger kids, which will be like fun and game stuff, and then there will be a actual, like, almost league-like event going on for the older crowd so that I can get them a little more hands-on experience with battling and with knowing a little bit more about the game, or maybe sharing just more, getting more people sharing their hobby and interest with everyone else. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And you know, that's kind of a common theme among like the older crowd of Pokemon players, I think, is that, you know, you have people that are kind of disappointed that Pokemon doesn't necessarily cater to like our age group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very much more youth focused, and so when you get into dealing with like the seniors and the masters level players, it just seems like there's not as much motivation there as there would be on like a junior's level.
Yeah. But
yeah, that's awesome that you're working on putting something together to kind of cater to that older crowd.
Yeah. I also picked up my Diancie from the event that we had not terribly long ago. No.
Oh, man. I have a halfway through Viridian Forest on that one.
Okay.
I'll save it. I'll save it for later.
All right. But yeah, I picked it up. It's still sitting in digital purgatory. I never did anything with it. I've got two more Diancie that I got from the event cards from way back in the day when X and Y dropped as well. So, or Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, I guess. So I'm not for want for Diancie. I probably will only ever have one that I would ever use maybe once, and I'd pretty much have it just so I could have the Mega Stone for it to Mega Evolve it, because Mega Diancie is beautiful. But I don't know. We'll see how it goes, I guess. I don't think I'll ever have three different move sets for a Diancie.
Yeah, it's not really that versatile.
No,
so
it's not.
Probably just pick one and stick with it.
Pretty much. I also gave myself some quality time on Oras to find every plate, Megastone, and TM. Well, I guess not all of them. I'm still missing one Megastone in particular, which is the Garchompite, which you have to get 1,000 flags in your secret base for. I'm currently just over a quarter of the way towards that goal, so.
Oh, wow. So yeah, 1,000 flags is
no small matter.
Quite the feat.
Yes. And unfortunately for the TMs, I'm stuck on the two TMs that I need to run around and find Mirage spots for. And I'm super not a fan of random rolling to try and find my TMs. They're not useful TMs, I would argue. I think it's Payback and Retaliate are the two that I need. I can't remember if that's right or not, but they're two just superfluous ones that I'll probably never use the TMs for. But that doesn't change the fact that I want access to them. So.
Right, it's one of those kind of like OCD things, like I don't have the full set yet, even though I'm never going to use these two in particular.
Yep.
It's one of those things that just like trips something off and in the back of your brain, like, oh, this is going to bug me.
And it does. I've been connecting to the internet once every 8 or 12 hours to try and roll for the Mirage spots that I'm supposed to find. I think at this point it's a Mirage Island and a Mirage Mountain, and I have yet to encounter that after probably a good 2 weeks solid of doing this.
Oh, man.
So,
oof.
I know one day I'm just going to roll in there and I'm going to get both of them in the same day, and I'll just be like, well, okay then. But, It has yet to happen, and I'll be happy when I finally get everything done. Josh kind of thought I was crazy, but I like to have a complete set of things that if I ever battle someone, then I have the full access to what I want, especially if I want to breed up different Pokemon to battle with.
Right. Well, Josh is one to be talking about crazy things. He's got like just a bajillion EV trained and IV bred Pokemon. So, yeah. Yeah, no, that's I actually think I might have one, if not both of those TMs, because I got pretty lucky, was just like, tooling around in the sky on my Latias,
Oh, yeah.
whichever one it is that I have, and just managed to come across the right mirage spots. So I think I've gotten all of the items out of the mirage spots. It's just getting the actual legendaries left, because I haven't done anything with the legendary dogs from Gen 2, and obviously I think you need those to unlock the mirage spot for Ho-Oh and Lugia. So, yeah. And then, actually, really the only legendary Pokemon that I've encountered through the mirage spots are probably the Musketeer trio from Gen 5.
There you go.
And that's probably about it. So, yeah, I've still got plenty of work to do as far as mirage spots go.
I also looked it up. It is not retaliate. It is payback and poison jab.
Ah, yes. Okay, so I'm almost certain that I do have poison jab at least.
Yep. And
So.
I do want poison jab because
Yeah.
that's a pretty awesome attack. But, at some point it'll happen. So.
Oh yeah, definitely. So. All right. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up Pokemon Chatter.
I do
It's
believe so.
so let's go ahead and kick it over to the news desk. And welcome to the news desk. We've got kind of a lighter news segment for you this week, but still some good things to know out there as far as the Pokemon world is concerned. So, the first thing is the new Ancient Origins set is coming out soon for the TCG, and it'll be bringing things like Mega Tyranitar and Mega Sceptile. And I haven't had a chance to look through the new set yet, but
It's scary.
both of those cards sound incredibly good.
They are terrifying. Mega Tyranitar in particular does 110 damage and then 60 more damage for each damage counter on the Pokemon.
Oh, that's right. I do remember hearing about this one.
And then Mega Sceptile, you do 110, I think it is. You can attach basic grass energy from your hand to your Pokemon, and then if you do that, you can heal all the damage off of those Pokemon.
Whoa,
So
that's pretty crazy.
it gets a little ridiculous there. They have also had some interesting they've reprinted some tools like the level ball that's coming back.
Yes.
So that'll be legal for standard play again. They're also pre-printing what some have called broken grass space. The card itself is called, and I kid you not, this is the translation, the Forest of Giant Plants. And
That's awesome.
the card essentially functions like the old Broken Time Space did, where you can evolve a Pokemon that was just put in a grass Pokemon this time around, that was just put in play, or one that had just evolved that turn.
Ah, excellent.
So it'll be giving grass decks a tremendous boost, and fire decks still won't be used. So.
Yep. I very much need to get back into the TCG side of things because I have been sorely lacking in that area with the last couple of sets that have come out. So yeah, maybe this one will be the catalyst that, pushes me back into the TCG.
After regionals this year, it was an incredibly hostile meta, just saying right now. The amount of Seismitoad was
Oh
crazy.
gosh.
I don't know how much more strongly I want to be involved in like keeping up and being super competitive in the card game. Mostly am looking forward to this set for the fact that the Forest of Giant Plants is a thing, and I would like to use something like that with the Mega Venusaur cards that I already have
Oh
and
yeah, absolutely.
do something with that. Maybe also use the Vileplume that's coming out that turns off all item use for all players and then just rely on a more beefy supporter hand or something like that. But yeah, it's going to definitely bring a little bit of something that everyone will want to use. So I'm looking forward to the pre-release event that's going on at Paradox today, and I wish the best of luck to everybody who is playing. Sounds like it's going to be a great time.
Awesome.
And like I said earlier, the Diancie event ended earlier this week. It was a very, very limited run event where it was literally available for only 3 days. And it gave players another opportunity to acquire the Fairy Rock legendary Pokemon and be able to acquire its Megastone in their copy of Oros games in case they missed it in the earlier distribution event, which relied on the distribution of these code cards, and once you went through all the code cards, there were no more Diancie. So.
Yep. Yeah, so that the limited run on that event kind of hosed me as far as being able to get that particular Diancie, which, having got Diancie in X and Y with the code cards, I'm not exactly hurting for Diancie or the Megastone,
Yeah.
but still, I mean, it's
An
would have been
event you missed
nice.
out.
Yeah, it would have been nice to have had the opportunity, because at that point I was in the woods of Minnesota, out at one of the lakes out there, and had no access to Wi-Fi
Wi-Fi.
or anything. So yeah, that one came and went, passed me by. So
Oh well.
oh well, it makes for a good halfway through
It
Viridian Forest story.
does.
So.
We also had the Circle of Legends tournament conclude just a week ago. And that was an interesting tournament to read about. All battlers could only use legendary Pokemon, and the format was rotation.
Really?
So.
That's very strange. I don't think that we've ever had a tournament use rotation battles as the format.
Yeah, if it ever has been, then it was another one of those that was just like, hey, guess what, guys? Rotation battle using legendary Pokemon. It's like, oh, okay. That's cool.
Well, props to him for doing something new and different. That's
Exactly.
and I'm sure that everybody that trains to the Ubers tier was grateful for the opportunity to break out their legendaries and use them.
Absolutely. Looked like every entrant also received 1,000 Pokemiles, so no championship points for any of the super, super awesome victors, but I would personally have liked to have seen some of those battles to see exactly what Pokemon people brought to the table, because I can only expect that there were a lot of primal Pokemon roaming about.
Oh yeah, absolutely. If I were to guess, I would say that probably the three Hoenn legendaries saw probably the most use out of all of the Pokemon for that tournament.
I'd agree.
So, and then finally, Groudon is available to fight in Pokemon Shuffle as part of the Hoenn Legends stage until August 6th, so don't miss your chance to take it on in battle and attempt to catch it. I think it's only got like a 5% base capture rate, and then for anybody that plays Pokemon Shuffle, you know that based on the number of turns that you have left when you defeat the Pokemon, then it goes up incrementally from there. But, yeah, 5% is pretty low.
Yeah.
So, not as low as the expert stages that only have 1% base, but...
Oof, duh.
But still, yeah, it's pretty crazy. So...
Oh, my. Well, that then is news. We'll then move right on into our main topic, which is all about quite possibly one of my favorite of the double team segments that we've had so far, featuring Dragonite. Segment with Dragonite as the point of our teams today. We both came up with some team ideas that we would use Dragonite for, and I am probably going to lead this off by using a singles team that I don't think I ever talked about on the air, because I wanted to keep it kind of secret back in the day when I used it, and I'm going to talk about it now, which is the Gen 5 Singles Elite 4 Champion team that I used to fight people with way back in the day when this tournament was held.
I think I remember this team, actually.
I'm
pretty sure that I fought this team.
I'm pretty sure you fought this team. This team... went very nearly undefeated. I think it's only ever been defeated 3 or 4 times back when it was used. And, Kent, you were one of those people who beat this team.
Was I actually?
You were one of those people who beat this team, so...
Wow, I definitely don't remember that, but...
Yep, it was...
That's awesome.
It was tough, but... the Pokemon to start out with here is, of course, my Dragonite. The Dragonite has Surf, Thunder, Hurricane, and Roost. I gave it that moveset to abuse the fact that I would be using Rain, and I would be using Rain all day, every day. Surf, of course, would get boosted in the Rain. Thunder and Hurricane get 100% accuracy when it's raining out, the Thunder and Hurricane being extremely powerful base 120 lightning and flying attacks, respectively. And then I also tossed Roost on it to try and recover some HP back and possibly avoid any attacks that would be exploiting my flying-type weakness on Dragonite. The Dragonite had Multiscale as its ability, And I can't remember for the life of me what item it was using. It was not leftovers, because I gave that to one other Pokemon in particular, who I'll be talking about later. Though if I had to make a choice about the Pokemon this time, I would most certainly be equipping it with a weakness policy, so that when I would be hit with the inevitable Ice Beam, that I would absorb the attack and then get my Surf, Thunder, and Hurricane even more powerfully rain boosted from that point forward.
That's beautifully devious, Sam. Because you know that the ice attack is coming.
Oh, I know it. And people at my league, when I had the Elite Four tournament, knew I ran Dragon Pokemon, so they brought a lot of ice type attacks to the play as well, which is why I had the following other guys on my team. The second one up was Politoed. I ran the Politoed with Drizzle because it wasn't going to have Water Absorb. The Politoed had Ice Beam, Scald, Psychic, and Mud Bomb. And I opted for all of those attacks because I wanted a Politoed. I guess to explain a little bit of the meta at the time, the meta was very concentrated around support Pokemon. There were a lot of Pokemon that were just meant to just sit out there and either set up entry hazards or sit there and try and toxic stall out, and I wanted to surprise people with a Politoed that had some serious bite to it. And the Scald and Ice Beam combination worked rather beautifully for me. The psychic attacks helped with the fighting Pokemon that I often saw. Specifically Conkeldurr was whom I used it against quite often. And the Mud Bomb was useful against the lightning type or electric type Pokemon that I would see every once in a while, because the Politoed, while I had sunk a lot into its special attack, was also very beefy on the special side as well for defenses, so I could reliably handle a lightning type attack and then use a Mud Bomb to try and knock down that Pokemon a little bit, because I do have a couple other water type Pokemon on the team that would not appreciate getting hit with possibly another rain assisted thunder, since it would be kind of shooting myself in the foot with that one.
Right. And Mud Bomb is an interesting choice, but definitely the right one in this situation, because like you don't see Mud Bomb very often,
No.
but with the way that the rest of the team is built, none of them is a ground type Pokemon, and while some of them would have access to ground type moves, I think they're much better served, you know, in the roles that they have with the move sets that you've given them. So I think Mud Bomb definitely works very well for you.
Yes. I also had Kingdra. He was also going to have a Swift Swim ability to give myself the jump on people who would be faster than myself. It ran Draco Meteor, Surf, Dragon Pulse, and Signal Beam. I ran Signal Beam to deal with any grass types that I would be fighting against, as well as any psychic types that I also knew were quite prevalent at the time. Reuniclus was one of the most common, and that Reuniclus was a bother for a very long time, and I pretty much ran the Signal Beam along with Life Orb on the Kingdra to be able to penetrate in and try and take specific threats out as well as I could. The Surf and Dragon Pulse just gave me fantastic neutral coverage against a lot of types in that meta. And the Draco Meteor was there in case I needed to nuke something and nuke it very quickly, because Choice Scarf Revenge Killers were very popular as well. They still are to a degree, but it seemed like in singles everybody had one, so I needed a good way to be able to deal with that, or with any speedier dragon types that would outrun pretty much any of my other Pokemon that I would have out there.
Yeah, I've always liked Kingdra simply simply because of the typing. You know, a water dragon. I guess because I like water types so much, I'm always constantly dogged by the fact that they're weak to electric. But, you know, paired with the dragon type, as Kingdra is, it takes that electric weakness back to a neutral damage state.
Yeah.
So that's always been one of my more favorite typings, I guess.
I also went with Melodic, who was my core defensive Pokemon for the team. That Melodic inspired a lot of rage and a lot of anger and a lot of sadness. The two primary attacks that it had to defend itself with were Surf and Ice Beam. It also had Haze, and the reason that I chose Haze is because we had a lot of people who also liked to boost their Pokemon and, you know, do like a couple swords dances or sit there and sit behind a substitute and just start boosting themselves up. I know, even though I didn't fight her too terribly often with that team, there was a certain Ninjask and a certain Relicanth that I never appreciated getting anything baton passed to. And that was kind of my counter for that. So that I didn't have to, so I could have a Pokemon that could sit there and just tank the hit and then recover any damage off. Because this Melodic here that I bred, I can't remember what its EVs were invested in, but it was able to survive the rain-boosted thunder and still be able to recover itself immediately afterwards. And I even made a second variant of that Melodic that I used every once in a while that had Mirror Coat that was even more specially defensive, and whenever it would get hit with an attack that did extreme damage to it, I could just Mirror Coat and return all that damage back and nuke my opponent afterwards. So the Melodic has treated me very, very well. A lot of people know that it's one of my favorite Pokemon. Adam, who used to go to our league here and now lives in, and now has his own podcast too. He moved away from the Fargo area. He has his own podcast now. He traded me a shiny Phoebus holding one of the Marvel scales that eventually evolved it into a shiny Melodic, and that was super, super nice of him, and I thanked him quite profusely for it.
That's awesome.
But going off track here, Melodic is most definitely the defensive core of the team, and nobody appreciated seeing her come out. Hydreigon was my revenge killer / offensive pivot. It had the Choice Scarf on it, and it had Draco Meteor, Focus Blast, Dark Pulse, and U-Turn. Many people remember that Hydreigon, and don't remember it with anything nice to say about it. And the Hydreigon did incredible work for me. It secured me some ridiculously great knockouts on a lot of the metal-type Pokemon that would have otherwise walled out a vast majority of my attacks. It took care of some of the psychic and ghost-type problems that I had. A lot of people also still like to use their Gengar, and no matter how impressively built some of my other Pokemon on this team where they couldn't outspeed a Gengar who could T-Bolt me and be not fun. And it also had U-Turn, so that I would often lead with this Hydreigon, and if I saw something pop up that I didn't want to attack with, or I wanted to switch into my Melodic, say I predicted a Thunder Wave or a Will-O-Wisp or something coming out, I'd just U-turn, bring in the Melodic, and if it was a status condition move, then the Melodic's Marvel Scale would kick in and make its defenses go up another 50%. So, I was a little devious with that Hydreigon, but... it was worth it. It really was. And then, final Pokemon I had on the team was Armaldo. And Armaldo ran Rock Slide, Super Power, X-Scissor, and Earthquake. For those of you who don't know, and that... I mean, many of you do know, Armaldo was my trump card in 2013. The Armaldo has Swift Swim, and... The Swift Swim boost in speed, you don't... Armaldo's not a very fast Pokemon at all, but if you max out his speed and you give him the Swift Swim boost, he is stupidly fast. And being able to have the physical options here, where I had Rock Slide, Super Power, X-Scissor, and Earthquake, which are all able to hit a wide variety of Pokemon that are more physically built, and people, when they knew that I was running dragons, very often ran specially defensive Pokemon to try and get around the fact that I had Draco Meteors and Surfs and Thunders and Ice Beams, that sort of thing. Armaldo helped clean up a lot of the things that I had problems dealing with. Any physically frail Pokemon, even to the speed tiers such as Alakazam, very often just collapsed under Rock Slide or X-Scissor, and it was a nice cleanup Pokemon to take care of very specific threats to me.
Yeah, I remember you, when you first built this Armaldo, and you had told me what you intended for it, I want to say, I think it was about regionals time.
Yep.
For Madison. And I of course thought that you were a mixture of genius and madness, as you usually are. But the Armaldo is one of the things that, you know, I think sets you apart as a player, because, you know, nobody would ever think to use an Armaldo on a competitive team. And, you know, hearing you after regionals talking about how pretty much everybody that you battled against had no idea what Armaldo's typing was or how to deal with one effectively, you know, you used him perfectly, you know, and so that it just goes to show what a little ingenuity and
madness
a little bit of madness will do for you.
Yes. I very much appreciate the variation in Pokemon being used that people have shown and demonstrated, even last year with the Seijun Spark. With the Pachirisu there that nobody really knew how to deal with, and how it took everyone by storm. Really, it's finding something that works out for you, and that might even be a little unexpected, that will very often turn things around for you. I mean, this team here is not very different from the team that I took out to regionals. I swapped out a couple Pokemon, Kingdra for Ludicolo, and Melodic for Metagross, and I just tweaked some things here and there, but it was the Armaldo it was just the one Pokemon, really, just the one Armaldo that set me apart from all the other people who used essentially the same stuff, and it still worked out quite beautifully. So it doesn't even need to be that you need to be just be like, oh, I'm just going to run a super rogue team and everything's going to be, you know, ridiculous. No, you don't need to do that. You just need to explore all of your options, and sometimes you just happen across something that works out beautifully for you.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Kent, I have been looking forward to your team for a while now.
Well, you've probably been looking forward to it a little bit longer than I have, because I don't want to copy Sam, so I'm going to throw this team together in 20 minutes kind of thing. but yeah, it, so with the Dragonite, I went with a physical set, because his physical attack is just a little bit better than his special attack. So his moveset is Earthquake, Extreme Speed, Outrage, and Roost. And obviously, you know, with Roost, he'll be a multi-scale Dragonite, trying to get back to that full HP and get that that extra protection from any other attacks. And then I also equipped it with a Yachi Berry to try and mitigate any damage that I would get from an Ice-type move, you know, because that seems to be a problem across, you know, all the dragon types. It seems like there are a lot of four times weak to ice.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with it's either, you know, the dragon flying, you know, with Salamence and Dragonite, or dragon ground with, like, your Garchomp or your Flygon. So, yeah.
Indeed.
Pretty much, you know, a good chunk of your dragon type pool is going to be four times weak to ice. So any chance you can take to mitigate that damage is going to be, it's going to pay off. So
I also do like me some physical attacking Dragonite too. He is so good.
He's got a pretty decent move pool to, you know, extend, you know, a wide range of coverage for, you know, different Pokemon that you might see.
Absolutely.
So he's a very versatile Pokemon. a Pokemon that is decidedly less versatile, but no less potent, is the Umbreon that I decided to go with. I made it a bulkier Pokemon and gave it Toxic, Taunt, Wish, and Foul Play. So, you know, basically the idea is to, you know, set up with, you know, Toxic or Taunt, and then because Umbreon's attacking stats are not the best, Foul Play is a good option to basically turn the opponent's strength against them, because it uses their attack stat rather than your own. So, and then Wish is for you know, trying to bring in Pokemon that have been injured in battle previously and then restore some of that HP. So, and Umbreon is definitely bulky enough to do it with, I think, a base 110 special defense, something like that. No, base 130.
Yep.
And then base 110 defense. So, yeah, he's definitely, you know, intended to just sit out there and tank some hits and annoy people. So. And then I've also got an Electross, which I've never really seen too many Electross used, but it looked to me like his stats were good enough to support a mixed set, so that's what I went with here. He's got Thunderbolt, Flamethrower, U-Turn, and Dragon Tail, and Dragon Tail, you know, is intended to work with the Umbreon throwing Toxic all over, and then another Pokemon that I'll get to later as far as wanting to switch through different Pokemon. So that's what I was trying to do with Electross. And then the next Pokemon that that Electross is supposed to work with is Skarmory. And anybody that's ever seen a Skarmory in battle knows that it pretty much just sets up entry hazards and then tries to switch through them as fast as possible. I opted not to give him Roar. His moveset is Spikes, Stealth Rock, Defog, and Air Slash. And the reasoning behind that, I wanted to set up the dual entry hazard, but then I also wanted to have the ability to take away any entry hazards that my opponent had set up with Defog. And then Air Slash is on Skarmory just on the off chance that my opponent is using Taunt and I have to have an attacking move rather than just struggling my way through and taking ridiculous recoil every turn. So then the next Pokemon on my team is Gengar, and kind of, I guess, contrary to the team that I've been setting up, the kind of flow as far as setting up entry hazards and switching out, I did opt to make Gengar a Mega Gengar. He doesn't necessarily have to Mega Evolve, and he'd be able to retain that Levitate ability, not be hit by, if he's out with Dragonite, he wouldn't get hit by Earthquake then. But Mega Gengar is just a beast as far as special attack, so his moveset to go along with that is Sludge Wave, Dark Pulse, Dazzling Gleam, and Destiny Bond. And really, I'm just trying to maximize the damage here. Sludge Wave and Dazzling Gleam both hit, all opponents. So spread moves, share the love, if you will.
Absolutely.
And then Destiny Bond to, if he's on the verge of being knocked out, he's got, a high enough speed stat that I can get the Destiny Bond off, and then when they knock out the Mega Gengar, it'll take the opponent with it. So, little deviousness of my own there. You're not the only one, Sam. and then I finished out the set with a Lucario, and this is actually a very experimental Lucario. I've never built this one, and haven't actually seen what it would look like in battle. But I opted to make it a little bit bulkier, investing in HP, defense, and special defense, and then giving it the move set Follow Me, Close Combat, Shadow Ball, and Flash Cannon. And because Lucario's stats, again, would kind of support a mixed set, so obviously, with trying to build up his defenses, I had to give him a negative nature in one of the attacks. So I opted for the physical attack simply because with close combat, it's a base 120. I figured by reducing the physical attack, I'd still be able to hit things relatively hard without taking away from my weaker special attacks, Shadow Ball and Flash Cannon. So, Did I go through the moveset on that? It had Follow Me, Close Combat, Shadow Ball, and Flash Cannon.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Follow Me was really just, you know, for trying to divert any attention away from a teammate.
Sure.
As so masterfully demonstrated by Seijun Park this last year. So that's where the inspiration came from for that.
Nice.
So I don't know necessarily that Lucario's defenses would support that, but I've got it built in Showdown, so it'd be interesting to see how it works.
You and I might have to battle with that at some point then. See how it runs.
Yeah, that would be great. We could try and test our Dragonite teams against one another.
Yeah. But, you know, honestly, I really like the Mega Gengar idea. Even if you do have a situation where people are... where your other guys are setting up entry hazards and the idea is to keep running them through to try and wear them down over time, the Gengar itself could still Mega Evolve and catch something that you absolutely do not want to get away, stuck there. And
right.
then what are they going to do? If you have cornered the Pokemon that you know to be their, like... Rapid Spinner, or if you had cornered something that you knew the rest of your team wouldn't be able to handle, then why not do it? And then if they try to attack you, just Destiny Bond and take yourselves out, and then you've accomplished your primary goal of making sure that your team in general will be good to go for the rest of the match.
Yeah, I guess that was something that I hadn't considered as far as, you know, coming across a sweeper that the rest of my team might not be able to deal with so well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that would be one instance where I'd want to hang on to him. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
The Dazzling Gleam, too, would also be really nice to use against other Dark-type Pokemon that you'd run into. The primary one that I'm thinking about right now was actually one that... was demonstrated on a video that I recently saw with a certain Sableye. And
oh. How, I forgot about that.
And how, yeah, it would actually really, really hurt to get struck by something like that off of a Mega Gengar. And, you know, I keep forgetting about the additional moves that some of these ghost-type Pokemon got, because you see a ghost-type Pokemon like Gengar, and you don't think Dazzling Gleam right off the bat.
No, you don't. It's definitely something that, you know, comes out of left field a little bit.
Yes.
So when it does actually attack with something other than Shadow Ball or...
Thunderbolt
or, you know, something like that, you're kind of just... left scratching your head like, oh, I forgot that it actually could do that.
Indeed.
So, and yeah, he gets a pretty wicked boost in his special attack and his speed when he Mega Evolves, because his base form special attack and speed are 130 and 110 respectively, and then after Mega Evolving they become 170 and 130.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty sizable increase, and that 130 base speed specifically, that puts it pretty safe as far as speed tiers. Like, the only things that are going to be going before it would be, you know, increased priority moves.
Yep.
So.
Speaking of increased priority moves, did you ever think about, what's the attack? Either Bullet Punch or possibly, I don't know, does Lucario get a fighting type?
I believe
vacuum
he's got
wave?
Access to Vacuum Wave.
Okay.
So, you know, with the primary reason I didn't go with one of those is simply because the base power was so low. But the point is well taken. You know, this team doesn't really do priority, so it would be nice to have something out there that could maybe hit something first, even if it is just chip damage. You know, it might, that bullet punch might be the difference between taking out a Dragonite with multi-scale and getting pounded by it.
Yep.
So.
No, that's great. So yeah, if you guys have any comments on what you thought of our teams, maybe you have some ideas for how I could update a team like mine for 2015, or if you have any suggestions to Kent about any of the Pokemon that he used on his team, I'm very thankful that I haven't actually fought a Mega Gengar yet.
Yet.
Yeah, you can either send it to us over to the email account we have at theundergroundmailbag@gmail.com, or you can reply to us on Twitter at Radio Rotome or on the Facebook group.
And here we are, tromping through Viridian Forest again, and lo and behold, we have forgotten to pack our antidotes. So, here is halfway through Viridian Forest without an antidote. This week, it happened to be a 3-day legendary giveaway for Diancie. And I was on vacation with no Wi-Fi for 5 days.
That's bad timing.
Do you care to guess, you know, where the 3 days fell?
During that event?
Right in the middle. Ugh. So it wasn't even like, okay, well I can, you know, take off late on Friday night or you know, hurry back on Wednesday afternoon. No, it was right smack in the middle, and there was no chance that this was ever gonna happen.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
Ah. Like I said previously, I already have at least one, if not two, Diancie from X and Y, so it's not anything, you know, that I'm terribly heartbroken over. It's just, it's one of those nice to have kind of things. So
yeah.
What kind of Pokemon are you? How do you do the things you do? Share with me your secrets deep inside. What kind of Pokemon are you? Are you loyal through and through? And do you have a heart that's true? What kind of Pokemon are you?
This week's Pokemon Spotlight covers number 149, Dragonite.
Dragonite is a dragon and flying Pokemon native to the Kanto region and is known as the Dragon Pokemon. It evolves from Dratini.
Dragonite is 7 feet 3 inches tall and weighs over 460 pounds, which is completely believable when you look at him. And he was the very first Dragon-type Pokemon. Until Generation 2, it was also the only Dragon-type Pokemon.
Yeah, Dragonite is just a little bit chubby.
Yeah, he is.
That's all right, though. We still love him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, that it was the only Dragon-type Pokemon in Generation 1, which would have been pretty cool if the only Dragon-type move in Generation 1 hadn't been a fixed damage move.
I thought about that before, too. I was just like, huh, all right, let's use a Dragon-type attack on Dragon Rage. Oh, okay.
Oh. Yep. Dragonite is notably the signature Pokemon of Lance, the Kanto League champion.
this Dragonite 2 is ridiculously overpowered. Like, it was the Dragonite that not only knew illegal moves and was super underleveled in Generation 1, but it was the one who defeated the shiny red Gyarados in Johto in the anime, and also in the manga was tough enough to dive into a volcano and come back out like nothing had happened.
That's a pretty tough Pokemon right there. But yeah, he totally, totally had that illegal move.
Oh, yep.
Oh my gosh, that barrier.
Barrier.
Just, every time he did that, I just wanted to reach into my Game Boy and punch him right in the face.
Right?
Jerk.
Dragonite, despite his very bulky and not quite as sleek appearance as his previous evolution, Dragonair, is able to fly at supersonic speeds of over 1,500 miles per hour, being able to circle the Earth in a matter of 16 hours.
That's pretty impressive.
Yep, it is.
Dragonite is a naturally kind Pokemon with a high intelligence and often saves ships or sailors at sea. However, they can also become furious and extremely aggressive when their territory is endangered. And if I'm not mistaken, I think there was an anime episode dedicated to Dragonite and kind of the mythos that went along with it.
Uh-huh.
So,
I need to watch that episode again. That was a good episode.
I don't think I ever saw it. So now that all of the episodes are on Netflix, I might have to go back and watch that.
Right.
I started watching the Kanto League, but then got kind of bored with it. Skipped ahead to see Lieutenant Surge.
Yeah.
And then just left everything alone. So
for sure.
Might have to go back and start that again.
Dragonite is an incredibly rare Pokemon to encounter in the wild. Like, stupidly, stupidly rare. And their pre-evolutions, Dratini and Dragonair, are also incredibly difficult to find. In Generation 1, I believe the only place that you could encounter a Dragonair was if you went fishing for it with the Super Rod in the Safari Zone.
Yes, and that was only in Pokemon Yellow. If you had Red or Blue, you would have to catch the Dratini and level it up.
Yep.
And that's another great example of an underleveled Pokemon found in the wild, because normal Dragonair evolves at level 30, and the Dragonair that you would catch in the Safari Zone were only at level 15.
Yep.
So, but it was a great Pokemon to have, and I spent I don't know how many hours trying to catch Dragonair because their catch rate was just so miserable.
Yep. I remember also doing a lot of hours in the Safari Zone trying to catch a Dragonair. I was just like, nope, I have to have this, and I wasn't going to have it.
Yep. And then, actually, the only game where Dragonite can be found in the wild, I believe, is Black 2 and White 2.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know that it is Black and White. It might just be Black 2 and White 2. But it's the water outside of Dragon Spiral Tower. And you'd have to get one of the rippling water and go fishing in it.
Yep.
And there was like 5% chance that you would be able to encounter a Dragonite. But hey, so you're saying there's a chance.
That made that tower best tower. It really did.
I love Dragon Spiral Tower. It was awesome.
Speaking of places where you can find Dragonite, though, it is said that there also exists an island quite far out to sea. Dragon Spiral Tower is not found on an island far out to sea. That is populated only by Dragonite, but that is still just a rumor.
I'm willing to bet it's somewhere in the Orange Island chain.
That would be
great. Which, unfortunately, we've never been able to explore in the video games.
Gen 7 confirmed.
Gen 7. Done. Dragonite has been featured on a multitude of TCG cards over the years, only three of which are currently legal for standard format play. The first is from Plasma Freeze and features the attack Deafen, which for three colorless energy prohibits the opponent from playing item cards on his or her next turn.
Yep, yes. The Dragonite is very dastardly and I would argue was the precursor to the Seismitoad EX that has so recently plagued the trading card game community. So, it's not a fun card to deal with. It wasn't fun even then when it was still just like, oh, it's a stage two. It was a difficult card to get around.
But it's so very fun to play with if it's on your side of the field.
If it's on your side of the field, yes.
Well, no, Heel Wing would be a little bit more difficult to pull off, you know, with the four energy, but you could do it.
You could do it.
It's possible. So, the second card that is currently tournament legal is from the Furious Fist set in the form of Dragonite EX, which has the ability Bust In. If one plays a Dragonite EX from his or her hand to the bench, you can move any number of basic energy to that Dragonite EX. If you do, you can switch your active Pokemon with the Dragonite EX. It also features the attack Jet Sonic, which does 80 damage plus 40 more if you decide to discard an energy off the Dragonite EX.
And it also comes in a full art. Just that was pretty much the most gigantic selling point for me on that card. It was just like, huh, it's a Dragonite EX. It has a full art. Sold. Please take my money on this one.
Yep. No, the full arts are usually, you know, just absolutely beautiful, and this one is no exception. It looks awesome.
Indeed. The last card came in Roaring Skies and featured a Stage 2 Dragonite once again, but this time it had 160 hit points, and it came with a rather costly attack for 3 grass, 1 lightning, and 1 colorless, which did a flat 150 damage. Though, this Pokemon was unique in that it came with its own Delta Plus Ancient Trait, which grants one additional prize card should Dragonite knock out the opponent's active Pokemon as the result of the damage from the attack. So, with the use of a Muscle Band, the Dragonite can push 170 damage in one attack and knock out most EX Pokemon in one shot, netting 3 prizes for the one card.
That is just amazing.
It's
obviously the superior choice over the other Dragonite that is in that set.
Yeah.
The Delta Plus, just stick with Delta Plus.
Yep.
Dragonite.
Oh, you know what? I even forgot about that Dragonite. Yeah, that's that Dragonite. There is another Dragonite card that was printed in the same set, but it was...
It's not worth talking about.
It's not worth talking about. There, you could theoretically make it useful, but honestly, this is the superior thing that you're going to run if you're going to run a Dragonite. I mean, you could even combo it with, say, the Training Center Stadium to give this Dragonite upwards of 190 hit points, which puts it well out of knockout range for most attacks.
Yep. Definitely.
So, to wrap it up, Dragonite is likewise an incredible powerhouse in VGC as well. His abilities, Inner Focus and Multiscale, are wonderfully useful for really any team, with the Inner Focus Dragonite being able to function as a good lead attacker, so that if someone decides to go for the early game fake out, you can absorb the fake out and answer right back with a solid punch to the face. Or if you go with...
A lot of people don't expect that.
No, and
nobody
that's...
Nobody expects inner focus.
I also am a huge fan of the multi-scale ability, making the Dragonite even bulkier and allowing it to combo quite effectively with the weakness policy held item. His natural bulk and typing also offer great defenses against a huge variety of attacks. It's not quite as good as the water dragon typing that Kingdra, the other dragon type Pokemon, the other dragon Pokemon, rather, is, but it still offers some nice resistances to grass attacks, to water, to fighting attacks, to a large variety of things. He does have some notable weaknesses. He'll have increased weakness to rock and to, I guess now, fairy is a thing. He'll also have some greater issues with ice, just because now he's four times weak to it. But he's still a very solidly built Pokemon. Speaking of offense, though, on his part, his offensive stats are very, very solid. Dragonite also has one of the most wide and varied move pools that exists for really any Pokemon sitting out there short of Mew. The ability to go from Fire Blast to Surf to Draco Meteor to Hurricane, Thunder Wave, Stone Edge, Bulldoze, he can do a lot of stuff, and the list quite literally keeps going on, especially now with the move tutor that you can give him access to a wider variety of moves with.
And don't forget the extreme speed.
And the extreme speed. You cannot forget that. So if you need a team member who is a great catch-all that can do a wide variety of things and can do it whether specially, physically, or mixed, and who is tough enough to take the hits that you need him to, Dragonite is the answer to that.
And now it's time for the question of the week. Last week's question was, if you could have a primal reversion of any Pokemon that doesn't already have one, which would you choose?
So, we had Paul Barrera, who was the first respondent to this question. He wrote Palkia.
Palkia would be a very interesting choice. And the, like, both of those Dragon Legendaries from Gen 4 would be interesting to see with a Primal Reversion.
Yes.
Our very well known and loved Josh Massey wrote in with the response, Mew.
What would a Primal Mew be?
I don't even know. Would it... Well, I guess the question would be, is it going to get bigger or smaller?
I like the idea of a Mew that could fit in the palm of my hand.
Right? It would just be this tiny little thing.
And somewhere out in the grand universe, I just heard Nateel squeal just a little bit about the prospect of a Mew fitting in the palm of her hand.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot to mention in Pokemon Chatter that I had started through the backlog of the Underground episodes again.
Uh-huh.
And was listening to Nateel talking about getting a Mew legitimately for the very first time in 5th gen.
Yeah.
So, it was a good time.
It was a good time. We also had Izak, who wrote in that Regigigas would be freaking amazing.
That would be another very interesting one. And there's another response to this one that we'll get to, but yeah, Regigigas would be interesting, to
yes.
say the least. Jack Brandt wrote in with Giratina?
Well, we've already got regular Giratina. Then we've got the origin form Giratina, which is kind of the stuff that nightmares are made of.
Definitely.
And then thinking about the possibility of a primal Giratina, a primal ghost and darkness type, or primal ghost and dragon type Pokemon. That is awesome.
Oh man, yeah,
that's great.
I could imagine a primal Giratina just being like even more nightmarish than it already is, and that would be a pretty wicked feat.
If you can out nightmare Mega Pinsir, then you know you're doing it right. So there, that's all I'm gonna say on that.
Mega Pinsir.
Brandon Bowden wrote in with the response to that was similar to Ezok's here, where he said, "I can imagine Nintendo trolling everyone and giving us Primal Regigigas with Truant."
That would just be awful. Regigigas is already
slow starting.
Slow start is just such a terrible ability.
It is.
And I know that they only did it to nerf Regigigas, but it still irritates me to no end. It's one of those things where, like, you're trying to think of some way around it. And the best way that I've come up with is either to skill swap it on a doubles team with your partner's ability, or pair it with a Cofagrigus and have it attack the Cofagrigus first and give it Mummy.
Yeah.
But you know, neither of those is really an ideal way to get around slow start. It's just the best that we have with what we're given.
It's not an efficient Pokemon to do anything with.
Definitely not. Adam Hool wrote in with a Primal Kling Klang would be interesting since it was discovered in the last 100 years, according to Professor Juniper. Yeah, I could definitely see where that would be. That would present a specific challenge to the Pokemon team, trying to come up with a backstory for a Primal Kling Klang.
It'll just be a bunch of chunks of iron ore. Just boom.
It just goes from this super complex machine into a giant lump.
Yep. I approve.
I would probably have to set my DS down from laughing so hard.
Nate Conley wrote in probably the most amusing response out of all of them. So, congratulations, you have won the internet right now for me. He said, Primal Dialga. Get it? Anyone? I'll see myself out.
And I honestly didn't get it until literally you just said the words out loud. And I was like, oh, I do get it. So, thank you, Nate. That was a pretty good joke.
Yes.
There. And then finally, this must be a new respondent. I've never seen this name before. Kent Johnson said that he would like to see Primal Ho-Oh or Lugia.
Those would be cool. So.
Yeah, no, that I would be very interested in seeing what they would do with a Primal Ho-Oh or Lugia. The actually probably more interesting would be what they would do with Primal Legendary Dogs.
That would also be cool.
I'm wondering if they wouldn't just revert to Jolteon, Flareon, and Vaporeon.
That's great.
That was one of the... Didn't we do a conspiracy theory episode? Something about...
I think we did,
something
yeah.
Something about that.
It was one of the, like, Pokemon theories episodes. I'll have to go back and double check on that and see if there's anything more we could add to that in, like, a part two to that.
Yeah, it would be really a neat episode to do.
Oh, yeah.
Go back and explore some of the other conspiracy theories surrounding Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll bring us to this week's question. What Pokemon, either cards or VGC, do you hope to see most at Worlds this year?
So, Kent, what do you want to see at Worlds this year?
Honestly, on the VGC side, I'm not 100% sure. I think Tyranitar or Mega Tyranitar would be kind of interesting. I'd also kind of like to see what people do with maybe like a Mega Salamence.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I've been so busy with like the breeding and everything, I haven't had a chance to track down Mega Stones and actually use some of these Pokemon. So,
all right.
But then for the TCG, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe that it was announced that Worlds was going to be in the expanded format, which is Black and White on.
Okay.
And so if that is the case, I'd love to see a resurgence of Darkrai, just because that was kind of the staple behind the first deck that I ever built.
Nice.
After getting back into the TCG, so.
Yeah.
Sam, what are you looking forward to this year at Worlds?
Well, I was hoping to... I thought about it a little more after I came up with the response here. And for the video game, I originally hoped that I might see a Mega Abomasnow make an appearance at Worlds. But I don't think that's going to be the case. What I would like more to see, just because I've been kind of playing around with it, and I kind of want to see more of it, maybe see it come and break Worlds like Pachirisu did the year before, Megalopony.
Ooh, yeah, absolutely. Megalopony, that's something that, you know, I don't see very often, but the people that I have seen use Megalopony use it very well. So I could anticipate, you know, we would see something very interesting if Megalopony makes it into the finals at Worlds.
Absolutely. And just because I'm kind of a fan of the card, and I would like to see somebody, especially with all the item lock going on, use this card to its fullest effect, would be Hypno from Furious Fists in the trading card competition. And for those of you who don't know what that Hypno does, for one psychic energy, it has the attack called Hand Control. You get to look through your opponent's hand, find a supporter there, and use that supporter for your opponent. So, oh hey, I see that you have in your hand 4 of your Empoleon, 2 of your Rare Candy, and a Professor Juniper. Well, I'm going to make you use that Professor Juniper, make you discard all of your hand, and then draw 7 new cards.
That
or,
is just evil.
Or, oh, so I see that you've got a Skyla in your hand, so I'm going to make you use that Skyla, then I will pick your deck up, and I will look through your deck for you, and choose which card you're going to be using that Skyla for, and then I'm going to shuffle your deck for you, and then your turn is, and then it's your turn again. So it has the potential to be just an obnoxious card. And I hope someone brings one of those in a psychic deck to Worlds to use, because that would be great to just, all right, top tables for Masters, let's do this. I'm going to make you use your own Juniper.
That is quite possibly one of the most dastardly cards in the format. And I am amazed that I haven't heard people online squawking about it more, because it's only a stage 1.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to go through the pain of trying to get up to a stage 2 Pokemon. And hand control is only a 1 energy attack.
Yep.
So literally, you could have this thing completely set up in 2 turns and just have your opponent basically deck themselves out because you keep using Junipers or you keep using Shaunas or you keep using Skylas or whatever. And
if you're
just run them out of cards.
If you're employing supporter or item denial as well, then you're also forcing them to get rid of all of the items and or supporters that they've been holding on to in order to, and finally, after they're finally able to get, be able to use it again, just to deny what they've been holding on to for hope that they'll be able to use it later. That's just such an awful thing to do to someone. And I hope that I see it at Worlds this year.
I hope so too. That sounds incredibly amusing.
All right. Well, if you also have one of your answers to the question of the week, dear listeners, whether which is what Pokemon, either in the card game or the video game, do you hope to see most at Worlds this year? You can submit it to us in one of several ways. You can either submit it to us through our Twitter account at Radio Rotom. You can submit it to us through our email account at theundergroundmailbag@gmail.com. Or you can leave us a reply on the Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/theundergroundpodcast.
If you enjoyed today's broadcast, you can find back episodes of The Underground on iTunes or at our website, theundergroundpodcast.wordpress.com. Please subscribe to the show via the iTunes store or directly through the RSS feed on our website. If you like what you hear, leave us a review or rating on iTunes. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, send them with the nearest deli bird to our mailbag. Or you can just email us at theundergroundmailbag@gmail.com. We'd also love to hear your bumpers. Just record an MP3 of yourself telling us that you dig the underground and send it in. We'll play it at the top of the next episode. Please join our discussions over on the D20 Radio Network forums at d20radio.com/forums.
Please join us again next week when we'll do our double draw segment with the other dragon Pokemon, Kingdra. So until next time, Pokefans, remember that our secret base is always open to you, if you can find it.
The Underground Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives, 3.0 unported license and is intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. Pokemon is a registered trademark of Nintendo, Game Freak, 4Kids Entertainment, and Wizards of the Coast. Music used in the show comes courtesy of the OC Remix album, The Missing Note Tracks. These songs and thousands more can be found at www.ocremix.org. All original audio, textual, graphical, and video content associated with the Underground Podcast are the sole copyright intellectual property of Nathiel Erickson and Samuel Ranke in affiliation with the D20 Radio Network.